My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. I'm recording this episode on Saturday, April 9th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. Shout out to Greg S. for being a new subscriber. I really appreciate you. I hope you enjoy all the bonus content and the new cool stuff that's coming really soon. This is episode 567. There's no guest. It's just me sitting in a hotel room in beautiful Utica, New York. I came up here Thursday night after doing TPS reports all day, drove in 3.5 hours of rain, and I made it to Utica. It's a nice, really cool, nice Rust Belt town, Rust Belt city, what they call, like a lot of industries up here. A lot of industry left here, you know, because of the economy, even before COVID. It's just one of those really rust belt cities, really cool looking town. And I'm doing some shows here at Fat Cats Comedy Club, which is in a neighboring town called Washington Mills, New York. And a few years ago, I was near this area. There's another town called Whitesboro, New York, which is not far from here. And maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I got stuck in snow in Whitesboro doing a gig. I made a wrong turn, and the exits here, like if you miss your exit in New York State, like the further upstate you go, you pay for it. And you gotta wait a minute to get to where you're going. So it's good to be here where I'm not as stressed out, but that Thursday drive up here was like, not easy. It was a lot of rain, and I was getting kind of tired from being up at 4:30 in the morning, and I had to turn my podcast listening into my hip hop playlist. So I was rapping along to my Muzak, and I made it. I made it safe and sound, and did the first 2 of 4 shows last night. First show was cool. First show was good. It was just like, okay, got the first show under me. I did 45 minutes, did a long set. Hadn't done a long set in probably a little over a year, I want to say. The last time I did an hour was like January of 2020, like the right before Kobe died. And then after that, you know, the pandemic hit. And then I've been getting back to doing stand-up last year, but I was in the show, and that took me away. So I'm just glad to be back hitting the pavement and working on my act and reworking things and trying to figure some shit out. So it's good. So the second show wasn't as great. It was a small crowd, and I had to work. It was work. It was like pulling teeth. The late show. Some of the people there were laughers, and then they were just kind of agreed with me. They smiled and like they nodded and laughed, but like just to themselves. So It was something. But come to find out, the weekend that I get booked here, everybody's gone on spring break. And so everybody kind of left town. And apparently the servers were saying, you know, everybody always says, you know, it was packed last week. You know, it's always packed last week. Every room you do. And last week it was packed. A couple days ago it was packed. But it was cool. I'm still having a fun experience. Just good to get to do the road again and do a long set. I did morning radio for the first time. I think it was WBIX radio, and to promote the show. And I, instead of doing it in the studio, they normally do it in the studio, but then they had like this, what is it? We did it at a coffee shop, this place called Daylight Donuts in downtown. I guess that's downtown Utica. It's in this area. It's like a few minutes away from this hotel that I'm at, and did like a couple hours of radio, and it was fun. There was like it was just felt like an episode of Parks and Recreation, where it's me and another comedian, Greg Morton, who I'm going to try to get on the show. He was on America's Got Talent, been around for a long time. And we did it with him, a senator from the area, a Republican senator. Who else? A doctor came in to talk about research that she was doing at a local hospital. The Easter Bunny, I posted it on Instagram. And it's like not only just the Easter Bunny, it was a Ukrainian Easter Bunny, because apparently last week the club was raising money for the people over in Ukraine fighting the war. And they had done that. And so they the owner of the club handed the check to the I guess it was a Ukrainian church that they donated to. And the person who picked up the check dressed up as an Easter Bunny. So that was pretty neat. And you got to see all the denizens of this area come in. A lot of them come in and get coffee. And it's just like a really cool event. It was pretty neat, because I'd never done like morning radio before. So that was fun. That was the first. And, you know, when you kind of get when you're starting out, even though I've been doing it for going on, 14 years or whatever, it's there's still a lot of first. And like I was talking to a comic last week, he's like, oh, you're 13. Like, you're still young. You're still a baby in this, even though I'm 42. Like, you never stop learning, especially when you're in the arts and whatnot. But I was just like, yeah. So it's like having a lot of first. And when you're a growing comic and you're up and coming and you're not a name or a person of note within the industry, you do get these off weekends. And I've worked with a lot of comics that were starting to come up and getting those off weekends, those holiday weekends. Then they graduate to getting, you know, doing other stuff. So it's just a part of the game, and part of the game that I'm willing to embrace and just learn and keep trying to get better. And it's been cool. So I'm coming back with some, try to come back with some heat tonight, and just try to finish these last two shows strong. Because this is my first time doing like a weekend, like my first headlining weekend. Like, I've done one nighters where I've headlined and stuff like that. It's just like a one hitter quitter, and you just kill and then that's it. But then like to do it over again, that's new to me. So this is a fun, really. This is like a, I think I'm slowly getting back to the turning point that I was at in 2020. Like, I felt like my act was turning a corner, and I'm trying to get that back. I'm slowly getting it back and trying to just trying to not plateau. That's kind of where I'm at as an artist, you guys. So what's going on this week? I saw Chris Rock last weekend at the Borgata. I talked about it over on Patreon. So if you want to hear what my thoughts on that, it's on Patreon. And talked about it a little bit on the radio show that I did yesterday. Now Will Smith is banned from the Oscars for 10 years. I don't know. I mean, people are saying, oh, it's too much, it's not enough, or people are arguing about that. But you got to remember, this is a pretty this is not pretty. It's an unprecedented event thing that happened at this event. And we'll see what happens. The homie Rod was saying, you know, maybe they'll, you never know if they might, you know, renege and feel sorry for him. And if he does something that's award worthy, maybe they'll bring him back or something like that. But I don't know. I don't know. But it's something, folks. Yeah. Oh, and I gambled for the first time. I bet on while I was at the Borgata. I think I'm just going to keep this exclusively at when I go to the Borgata or something where I'm doing a casino, because they just opened up like sports gambling in 2018, and they have like an MGM bar where they have a bar there where you can bet on the games and stuff like that. The sports book place or whatever they call it. And I bet that on the UConn women's Huskies to win, because I've been following them. They're the only team that I kind of know about. And I like Paige Becker. So you follow who you like. And they played South Carolina. South Carolina beat the brakes off of them. It was they just had their number the whole time. Those girls were physical. And Paige Becker's can't do it all herself. I'm hoping that next year with AZ Fudd becoming a sophomore, and I'm just hoping that she steps up more and that she gets a little more grounded and she can contribute more to the team. But yeah, you know, and then I lost $50 and I bet against Dawn Staley, and serves me right, because I bet against a black woman. And that's one of the reasons why I probably lost. I'm going through puberty, guys. Can you tell? Puberty at 42. This episode's not going to be that long. It's going to be a relatively short one because I have an audition that I got to work on. I had one yesterday that was pretty cool. It was my my second audition that I did that was like a live. They call it a live EcoCast, where you don't have to go into the office, but you meet with the casting director on camera. And you read your lines and he gives you notes. It was pretty cool. It was fun because he's like, oh, I think you got it. Let's just do one more for safety. And I was like, oh, whatever. It was fun because you get to kind of work stuff out and see what works. So hopefully I'll hear back. We'll see what happens. It'd be a nice little gig to get. Would not be mad at it. Build those credits. Build those residuals. That's what it's all about, to stack these residuals and pay some bills. So that was cool, and I got one that I got to work on in a few minutes and put on tape and submit because it's due today. And that is my life. That is what I've been going through. It's good to just keep busy, keep plugging away, and doing the stuff that I enjoy doing. And that's just where I'm at with it right now, you guys, doing comedy, trying to get back into that and just get more gigs, to write more, and to try to be an artist, you guys. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some TV and some movies, and we'll get out of here. So I have a correction to make. Last week I was talking about TV shows, and I was talking about Bust Down and what was it, like Detroiters and all that. And I was calling Southside The Chi. I do like The Chi. I do like that show. The Chi is a show that's on Showtime. I think it's been around for about 3 seasons. It's a drama, and it can be soapy at times. And it's a good show. I tune in every morning. Like Showtime, they put their stuff, they put their shows, just like Stars does, they put their shows on at midnight. So as soon as, you know, it's available Sunday at midnight, you can watch all the shows. So I was there religiously to watch The Chi. But Southside is a show that I was telling you guys about. I meant to say Southside instead of The Chi. Hilarious comedy. It's fantastic. If you haven't gotten into it, you should, if you like to laugh. I think a lot of people that probably listen to this show have probably already watched it. But if you haven't, it's terrific. It's fun. Fun for you and your whole family. A lot of actors that that I know have been on the show. There's the second episode. Let me see. I can give you an example of somebody, a great actor on that show, Southside. Let me see if I can get the episode, because I think it's either the first or second episode of season two. And there's a one where one of the characters wants to get has like Omaha steaks. Let me see if this actor named Anthony Irons, who plays the chef in the restaurant, like this fantastic actor. I had the pleasure of understudying for him in this play called The King of Coons. I think it was in 2003, I want to say. This episode called Treat Yourself, and it was episode one of season two. And he's a phenomenal actor, and I had to understudy this dude. And it was basically like kind of loosely based on the life of Step and Fetch It. And Anthony played this character named Cotton Pickett, who was like a Step and Fetch It type character, this classically trained actor who became this guy named Cotton Pickett and rose to fame in the, you know, early, you know, like 1920s, 30s or whatever, and had to struggle with his blackness and all this stuff. And was he a coon? The play was called King of Coons, basically. So, and I had to understudy this dude, and he's a phenomenal actor, and I pray that he never got sick or nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened to that dude, because I did not want to go on. He was amazing. So that's just an example of a really talented dude. And he's done a lot of theater and stuff like that, and done some TV film work. Really talented dude. So Southside is the correction that I wanted to make. The Chi is also a good show, but I like, as far as a comedy is concerned, Southside is phenomenal. Atlanta has been good. Although, like, they did the latest episode, it was basically, it's called The Big Payback, and it was about reparations. It was very good, and it's really funny, but it's like, man, I want to see the crew. I want to see the main characters kind of do their thing, but I guess it'll all come into play, like, after this season's over. Like, I don't know if I've made the rewatch, if I've done the rewatch yet. I think maybe I used to watch each episode twice, but I know I listened to Rod and Bossy talk about it on this too much. I like listening to them do recaps. But I think eventually, maybe when this season is over, maybe I go back to watch Atlanta, watch it all the way over from the beginning, because it deserves it. It deserves it. I love that show, and it's just so fun to watch all that stuff play out. I think this season seems to be a lot about white people. Like, look at these white people. I think that's what, you know, last year was the last season prior to this one was called Robin season, I believe. And this would just be like, look at these white people. I mean, it's funny. It's funny to me. It's a good show, obviously. Severance finale was really cool. The homie Tim Hall was texting me about it. He's like, oh, do you remember that? I was like, yeah, it was a great finale. And he was asking me, I was like, dude, I need to rewatch, because that show can be really dense, and you really have to pay attention to that show. So it's certain things that, like, the big things that the predictions, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the predictions that everybody on YouTube that I follow were talking about, like, one of the big ones they were right about. And it was cool to see that happen. And it's just a good show. It's like a good, like, sci-fi fun show. So if you haven't seen it, I think all nine episodes are now on Apple TV Plus, and it's worth checking out. Apple TV Plus is starting to have some really good shows that you can, especially dramas that you can get into. And I haven't even gotten back to that show, Servant, or a bunch of shows on there. So they're building up. They're building up a pretty interesting cachet, if you will. An interesting cachet of shows, I reckon. Is that what you say? An interesting library, catalog of shows. I've been enjoying that. I just finished watching this morning. Last night after the show, I was watching The Girl from Plainville, which is a dramatic interpretation of this documentary called I Love You, Now Die, the Commonwealth versus Michelle Carter. This teenage kid in Massachusetts, I think it was like 2014. Let me just read you this blurb of, I'll read you this blurb about the documentary on HBO that I watched recently. In July 2014, 18-year-old Conrad Roy died by suicide in his car at a parking lot in Fairhaven, Mass. Police soon discovered a series of alarming text messages from his girlfriend, 17-year-old Michelle Carter, that seemed to encourage him to kill himself. The discovery sparked sensational headlines nationwide, leading to a trial that raised difficult questions about technology, social media, and mental health, while asking if one person can be held responsible for the suicide of another. It's a pretty good, it's actually a good documentary, and this is basically, the girl from Plainville is like a dramatic telling of that, with Elle Fanning, who is phenomenal. She's good in everything. She's good in that show, The Great, which I haven't watched season two of. I'm behind on all this stuff. I don't think you'll ever be ahead of any of these TV shows. There's just so much. But it's a really good cast. Chloe Sevigny's in it. Aya Cash is in it. People that you may not know their name, but they have been in stuff. Like you said, oh, I know that person, you know. It's good. It's actually good, interesting. Also, I just finished The Dropout, this series about Elizabeth Holmes, who had the fake blood testing machine, then she scammed everybody and gave like folks wrong diagnosis. This machine that was supposed to diagnose you, when you give them just a drop of blood, they can tell all this stuff about you, and they misdiagnosed all these people, and just stole millions of dollars. I think maybe 700 million, don't quote me on that, but millions and millions and millions of dollars from, hundreds of millions of dollars from investors and whatnot. And it tells that story. You know, there was a podcast about it called The Dropout. Tons of news stories about it. But this one's an interesting take on it, like the dramatization of it, and with Amanda Seyfried. How do you say her name? Hey Siri. Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce Amanda Seyfried's name?
Here's an answer from pronouncetrite.com. The correct pronunciation of Amanda Seyfried is Amanda Seyfried.
Amanda Seyfried. So it's Amanda Seyfried. Okay. I'll trust you on this one, Siri. And she's really good. I think this is kind of a standout performance from her. I think it's Emmy worthy. You know, I think it's kind of like her moment to shine. So it's her and Naveen Andrews and William H. Macy's in it. It's good. It's good. I recommend it. I think it's really good. And both the girl from Plainville and The Dropout feature at the end credits of the latest episode of The Girl from Plainville has a St. Vincent record called Every Tear Disappears from the St. Vincent self-titled album. I was like, oh shit. I was like, all right, that's what's up. Little Annie Clark getting recent Grammy Award winner for Best Alternative Music Album for Daddy's Home. You know, Shalewa Sharp and I did a deep dive into that album, which is, I think it's really good. I love that one better than Mass Seduction. You can hear Shalewa and I talk about that. We did that like maybe summer, fall of last year, whenever it came out, and happy for her. And then the last episode of The Dropout, the series finale, they played one of her songs from Daddy's Home, Pay Your Way in Pain, which is, I think, pretty apropos of what was going on that show. So it's pretty cool when you have an artist that you liked from like ages ago, more than 10 years ago, is famous, has been famous for a while, but like you kind of see her, their shit in the zeitgeist and people pulling different records from her catalog, you know. So I think that's cool. I was like, I know that song. Me and my nerd glasses talking about that. What else, guys? Okay, so I didn't get to do that much in town. Because and then I was asking the servers, like, oh, what do you guys, like, you guys have a zoo, and what's going on with that? Should I visit? And they were like, that zoo only has four animals. And then they were telling me about some, like, beer fest that they have in the fall. So it's not the fall. So it's really, like, nothing going on right now, I guess. And I'm a pretty low-key person anyway. So, and then COVID's still around. So I'm traveling, all, you know, here and there. And I just test myself, you know, when I have to go see my mom and shit like that. And I just like test my, I probably test myself like a few times a month. And so I want to be relatively, I want to be safe. You know what I mean? So I was just happy with going to the movies, and I hadn't been to the movies probably in a couple, maybe since X, since like when X came out a few weeks ago. And so I was kind of itching to go see something. So I went out and saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is the Michelle Yeoh film. It's her. She's starring in it, but it was, oh my gosh, here we go. It was written and it was directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, who did Swiss Army Man a few years back, like a weird and interesting movie. With Paul Dano and Harry Potter. What's that dude's name? Oh my God. Oh my God, that's bad. I should know. Daniel Radcliffe. Okay, I didn't even have to look that up. I was just doubting myself. As when I tanked the name of Southside last week, and I was just confident about it. I was listening back to it yesterday. I was like, oh, damn, Chris. You're loud and wrong about that. But I hope people, anyway. Let me read this blurb, and we'll take it from there. Okay, here we go. Should I read the Google blurb for this? Or the Letterboxd blurb? Let me see what's better. Let me see what's better. Okay. Huh. Okay, here we go. All right. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Okay. An aging Chinese immigrant is swept up in an insane adventure where she alone can save the world by exploring their other universes, connecting with the lives she could have led. Unfortunately, this sweeps her up into an even bigger adventure when she finds herself lost in the infinite worlds of the multiverse. Okay, so this film, I really enjoyed it. I gave it 4.5 stars on Letterboxd. One of the best movies I've seen this year, I would have to say. It currently has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. And no, I'm not being an A24 shill. I don't know, and I have to think about it. As I was watching it, you know, we like to put things in boxes in America. A lot of people try to put things in boxes. And I was thinking, like, what is this movie like? What does this remind me of? What is this reminiscent of? And it's, I don't know right now if I can put my finger on that. There's definitely, you got elements of, obviously, the Spider-Man, recent Spider-Man movies, and, like, what the stuff that's being explored in a show like What If on Disney+, these different multiverses. But it's a really fascinating film that's fun and interesting. It raises questions of existence. It's very existential. Like, what does it all mean? And how are you living your life right? What could you be doing more? And is any of it really important? And then it comes to an interesting conclusion, which is, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but where you just kind of like, you as an audience member, as a viewer, come to this understanding where it's like, oh yeah, that's what's, X is what's important. And even though there may be different multiverses within the world of the film, there's a strain that keeps everything together that makes everything worth it. I maybe have to get Veronica on here and try to do like a deep dive and discuss this one a little more. But I texted her last night. I don't think she's seen it yet. There's another movie that I'll probably talk about on a Letterboxd dump and for the Patreon folks. But like, yeah, this was really good. I think part of me was just anxious because I wanted to make the show, get to my show on time. But the show was at 7, and I didn't have to be there. I like to be at the show on time, and I was like trying to get there. I was like, the movie ended at like 5:38, and I had to go back and change. And I got to the show on time, but I was just kind of antsy about that. But it was a very, and that was my own bullshit. That was me bringing my baggage to the film, but. Easily one of the best films that I've seen this year, and just really interesting. And I think I was talking about this last week with regards to Bust Down, two totally different projects, but taking big swings, like not being afraid to take big cuts at something and just see where you land. But like, it's a lot of stuff going on, but the core of it was, it was grounded in this reality that could be grounded in this universal reality that's easy to digest. Because I was trying to figure it out, and I was like, okay. I was like, I'm watching it, and then, like, you know, once I, like, every time I watch a film, especially one that's, like, got a lot of layers to it, I was like, okay, what does this mean? And then when I was watching a couple reviewers of some of the people that I follow, I was just kind of like saying, okay, we'll see. This makes sense, and I'm on the same wavelength as people who I follow and people. I was like, okay, that made sense, or did I need more clarification from X, or you know, whatever. Yeah, but Michelle Yeoh was great. Ki Hui Kwan, who I hadn't seen in a long time. He was Data in Goonies, the Asian kid with gadgets, and he was in Indiana Jones. I haven't seen him in, maybe I have seen him in stuff and just didn't know it, but he's been, it looks like he's been working. Hold on. I'm sorry, I had to cough, but he's been working here and there, but yeah, sorry guys. But I highly recommend it. A lot of the people, a lot of people on social media have been talking about this one. It's now in wide release. You know it's in wide release if I saw it in Utica, New York, and upstate New York, and it's playing there. So it's definitely worth it. If you want to see something new and interesting and fun and has a lot of heart, it's definitely worth seeing. And I highly recommend it. I had to take a sip of water, but I highly recommend it. I don't know what I'm looking forward to. You know, I kind of want to see, you know, obviously I got to see the Doctor Strange, because that's a part of the whole freaking, excuse me, guys. I'm so sorry. My apologies. You know, it's part of the Marvel universe and all that stuff. And I want to see it, but I heard good things about The Lost City, the Sandra Bullock movie. That looks good. Interested in seeing the Ambulance, or as we say in the black community, Amalamps. I'm looking forward to that. You know, I'm just something fun to see. It's Michael Bay, I think, right? Is that Michael Bay? What is it? Let me make sure. Ambulance. I think it is. I want to say it is. Yeah, he did direct it. So it's getting to be springtime, and maybe we'll see more more some fun movies, some interesting art house and indie flicks, and I will be talking about them. I'll be trying to see them whenever I can, and I'll be talking about it. Even some stuff that I've rented and bought on VOD. I'll talk about those on Letterboxd, and hopefully we'll get some more insight. I'm calling Veronica out, just trying to making her do a pod with me, but we'll see if she comes on. I definitely want to hear what she says. I want to hear her thoughts on Everything Everywhere All at Once. So that's going to be it, guys. I got to get ready for this audition because I got to submit it later on this afternoon. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate you, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.